Morning. Last week, we discussed the concept that when a person finds an aveda, he finds a lost object, he has a chiv to pick it up, he has a chiv to try to return it to the owner. The moment he picks it up, he becomes a shomer aveda. He's responsible to safeguard it, he's responsible to care for the item until he actually is able to return it to the proper owner. And we spoke out last week, if you find something, you call it out. Nobody claims it. So the halacha is that at some point, if the item is going to deteriorate, if the item is going to spoil, or for that matter, if it's an article of clothing, you wait long enough, it'll be out of style, it'll have no value. So here, your chiyuv hashavas aveda is a bit different. Here, the chiyuv is to actually sell it, and this way, when the owner comes, when you actually find him, or when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, you'll have something to return to him. You'll be able to return its value, as opposed to if you wait and the item spoils, it rots, goes out of style, it really will not have any value. Even in cases where the item is not going to rot, it's not going to deteriorate, but if it's something which is mass-produced, where the owner can easily find a replacement, people have no special attachment to this particular item. They can just as easily buy a replacement in the shuk. So here also, you do not have to hold on to the item. You have the right to sell it or even keep it for yourself and put aside the money. And when the owner comes, you'll give him the money. He'll be able to replace it. The Gemara's example for this is tefillin. Tefillin back then, people did not have any special attachment to. And therefore, the halacha is you can just sell it right away. And the owner will buy himself a new pair of tefillin when he comes. But we pointed out from Michas Elazar, today the Mitzias has changed. Today people want their tefillin bedafka, and therefore the halacha will not apply here. But most other items that you buy in the store, they're mass-produced, you can buy an identical item, no one has any emotional attachment to punkt this can of deodorant. So in such a case, halacha is you can sell it, put aside the money, and do your hashava that way. Now, what does a person do when he finds an item? What steps does he have to take to try to locate the owner? So the Gemara says that originally what they used to do is when you found an item, you brought it to Yerushalayim. Now Yerushalayim was a central meeting place. Three times a year, all of Klal Yisrael would be Oil Regel, and you had every Yid in the same city at the same time. So there was an Eved HaTayin, there was a special place where they did a hachraza, where you called out, you said, I found a shirt, I found whatever the Aveda was. Anyone who throughout the year had lost something would know. His opportunity would be, he'd go to Yerushalayim, he'd go to this Eved HaTayin. Must have been a whole scene over there because every Aveda in Klal Yisrael was there. But you'd ask around, you'd see who found the type of item that you lost, and you would go ahead and you would claim it. Now this system worked wonderfully when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and there was a central meeting place that everyone gathered together a few times every year. Today we do not have that. So what we do is, the Gemara says is, what you do is you should publicize it in the Batei Knesiyos, in the Batei Midrashos. A Beis Medrash and a Shul is a meeting place. Everyone gets together, they daven three times a day. So this is the opportunity to make an announcement, a public service announcement, where everybody will hear. Now, apparently they used to make the announcement during davening. There's a discussion in the Poskim, it's better to do it after davening. It seems the minhag was to do it between Ashrei Uval Tzion or just before Ashrei. But Al Kopan was done during davening, it was done when everyone was there, and this way you would publicize it, hopefully the owner would hear it, and he would claim it. Now the question, of course, is which shul do you make this announcement? Now, Baruch Hashem in Muncie, we have many shuls. So the Poskim say you do not have to go around the entire city. You just make the announcement or publicize it in the immediate neighborhood of the Aveda. How to define immediate neighborhood is not very clear, but you certainly don't have to go around the entire city. It just means the local shuls. Now the Dibros Moshe points out, announcing in a shul is certainly not a perfect system, because you have no way of knowing that the person who lost the item, just because he lost it on Parker Boulevard, doesn't mean he's local and he davens here. You have some people who walk, we're all Jews, you always have people who bedafka walk across town to daven in the other shul, and it's also possible it was someone who's just a visitor. He's a guest. And he may never walk into a shul in the neighborhood again. The Dibros Medrash says, Enochanami. But there's a limit to what Chazal made you do, your life's mission. You do not have to quit your day job and spend your entire day and night running around trying to locate the owner. They were Mashiach that making the announcement in shul is enough, the local, in the immediate area of the Aveda. That's the best chance that you have, and more than that, a person is not mechuyev to do. Now, the truth is today, you know, back then it seems that people had much fewer Avedas. People, I think, had much fewer items. If they lost something, they would go to Yerushalayim, they would claim it, things were much more valuable. Today, everything is more or less disposable. I would venture to say most people who lose things don't even realize that they lost it, especially if it's their kids. So people, certainly today it is much more difficult to actually find the owner and to be mekayem in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Chassam Sofer, in one of his tshuvas, mentions that the minhag was to put an ad in the newspaper saying, and or listing, that you found in Aveda, inviting the owner to contact you and to give simanim. Now the poskim today say that there may have been such a custom, but you do not have a chiv to spend money to be meshav Aveda. And therefore, if it's going to cost, I understand some local newspapers will have a public service, they do it for free, so that's certainly an appropriate thing to do. But in a case where you have to pay for the ad, there's no chiv to spend the money, and therefore there's no obligation to do so. In addition, I don't know how many people actually read the papers looking for it. I mean, if it's something very valuable, perhaps they do. But of minimal value, the people probably do not bother checking. Now, if a person finds something in, let's say, a shopping area, so they're going, you know, if you find something in front of ShopRite and you go announce it in the closest shul, it's not very likely you're going to find the owner. And it's a place where everyone's coming from other areas. So there, hanging up a sign in the store or notifying the store that you found something is probably the best way to deal with it. Giving the item to the store is a problem. Because if the store is not Jewish, they will not follow the halachas of Hashavas Aveda. They're not going to follow the right protocol. And for all you'll know, they'll just put it in their pocket. And therefore, that's not a kiyum of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. But you should notify them and let them know that you found such a thing. If anyone claims it, they should give you a call. They may have regulations, but the regulations are probably not, you know, siman reish nun test through siman. It probably does not follow halacha. And second of all, if it's a goy, you don't have the right to go ahead and assume that everyone's going to follow the regulations. So you should go over to the customer service. Say you found something. If anyone comes and claims it, this is my number. And if anyone claims it, they'll give you a call. But to give it to them, where their protocol for you know may be, they hold it for 30 days and then they keep it. You don't know what the protocol is, and the protocol is probably not halacha. Now, one case where I saw some place from Armater is if you find something, let's say, on a bus or where the person brought the item on a bus where it's known they have a lost and found. So there's a svara that when you get onto the bus, it's a daita dahachi, that anyone who finds something will give it to the lost and found, and that's when you get onto the bus, you're accepting the rules. So there is such a svara in these type of cases. But losing something in front of ShopRite in the parking lot, I don't think you'd have such a svara that when I drive to ShopRite, I'm implicitly accepting the rules that they have for Hashavas Aveda. Now what happens? You find an Aveda, you hang up the signs. So lo and behold, someone actually calls. Said, "See, I noticed there was a sign, you found a watch. I lost a watch. Can I come pick it up?" So halacha is not so fast. The halacha is when a person calls and claims an aveda, you can't just take his word for it. He has to prove that it's actually his. Now the simplest way to prove it, and the way to prove something normally in a din Torah, is to bring edim. If a person can bring edim that yesterday he had this watch, and he dropped it, the edim recognized the watch, they know it belongs to him, certainly you give it back to the fellow. Now the problem is that people usually do not have edim. Most people would be very hard pressed to find two witnesses that know what their watch looks like. So this brings us to the halacha of simonim. That if a person gives a simon, he gives some sort of unique identification. He's able to accurately describe the lost item. So that is called a simen. It's something if he's able to, and the halacha is, we will return an item, an aveda, with a simen. Now the reason why we can return an aveda with a simen, again, we'll see, in many cases, it's a machlokes, but it might be derabanan. But what's important to realize is that normally, if you have a fight with someone, and you claim he stole your watch, you bring him to Bezdin and say, I can prove that this is my watch, because I have a simen. So normally, we cannot use a simen to be moitzi mamon. There's much discussion in the Achronim, but the simple reason for this is because Edim is enough to be moitzi mamon. Simen doesn't really prove directly that it belongs to you. It doesn't rise to that level to be moitzi mamon. However, when you find a lost item, so when a person claims it, is he taking money away from you? Not really. Whoever it belongs to, we know one thing. It does not belong to you. You found it. You don't. It could be anybody else's. It's certainly not yours. So you are not a muchzik. It's not your money. So in such a case, where the problem is that when someone calls you, you can't return it to him because your responsibility now, once you pick it up, is your shomer aveda. You're responsible to safeguard it for its true owner. When a person knocks on your door, how do you know if it's really his? How do you know that he's the true owner? So even though you want to trust him, you don't have the right to be generous and trusting on someone else's money. So without any proof, you can't return it to him because that's a pshia in your obligation as a shayman. However, once he provides a level of proof, once he gives a simon, that's enough that as a shomer aveda, you've done your responsibility. It's enough that you identify the owner, and then you can return it. There'll be nothing. Edom or Kravim are worthless. That's true. That's halach of a simon. But Edom Sulim, you don't find such a thing. So now the question is, so in regular dinei mamonis, if you have a fight with someone, there's always a chashash. Maybe it was bought, maybe it was sold. For this, the fact that he owned it a week ago probably would be enough. Now, what is the definition of a simon? How unique or what level of proof do you need? Now, certainly the Mishnah says that if you lose your watch and someone says, "I found something," and you say, "Oh, I lost my watch." So there, in a sense, you've identified the lost item. You've said that it's a watch. There, the Mishnah says that is not called a good simon. That is not specific enough. It's not unique. There are millions of watches around in the world. Many other people could have lost a watch. It could be just a good guess. It doesn't prove anything. It has to be unique about this item. How unique does it have to be? So there are three levels of simonim. What we'll call a simon muvuk, although that word is used interchangeably, but a simon muvuk will be the highest level, a simon beinoni is a mid-level, and a simon gerua is a weak simon. A simon muvuk is discussed primarily, the sugya is not really in the Avedu Metzia. There's a huge sugya in that Hilchas Aguna. Back then, if a person traveled, he went away for business, and along the way, he died. But traveling back then was very dangerous. There were bandits, there were chayas, there were all sorts of stories. So what would happen if the person died along the way? So whoever came across him, would find the mace, would bury him. Now the problem is, how do you know who this person is? He very likely has a wife and children somewhere else. And how do we prove, or how can we be mater this lady to get remarried? How do we identify that it was her husband that actually died? So there's an entire sugya of simonim that if you find on the mace, before they bury the person, they would examine his body. And if there was some sort of unique simon, some sort of birthmark, something unique about the body, then the Edom would note that simon. And eventually when they would hear about there's an aguna, her husband was missing. So if they would come and they would say, we found a mace, we buried a person with this simon. And if the simon matched up, she would be able to get remarried. Now there the poskim say that to qualify as a simon muvuk, to be a clear proof that this is the husband, now you realize there's a lot on the line over here. The lady is getting remarried. So what you need is, you need a siman that is so unique, so unusual, that you have either one in a thousand, or the other place can say even in a thousand people, you very often will not even find one that has such a siman, or it's less than one in a thousand. It has to be something very unique, very distinct. Once you hit that level, it's one in a thousand or less than that. At that point, we don't have to be afraid that punct someone else with the same siman died and is missing. Obviously, anything's possible. Statistically, it probably depends how many people there are. If you have a city of 10 million people, if you have one in a thousand, so that's, you know, you have a lot of such people with that siman. But we're not choishish for that. Once the number is you're down to one in a thousand, you know a person with this identification was buried. We know this lady's husband had this mark. You can connect the dots. You can put two and two together, and she would have the right to remarry. This is a siman muvuk, and this certainly would work by an aveda. According to, it would probably work midaraisa, because once you can prove, if you lose something and it had a scratch in a funny place, that less than one in a thousand have such a mark, such a scratch, that proves beyond the shadow of a doubt you're the owner. And you can certainly could get it back. The lowest level, a siman gerua, is if you don't know anything special about it, you don't know anything unique, you're able to just give a basic description. You say its color, according to most places, when you say the person's tall, the person's short. There are many people who are tall or short. It really doesn't prove very much. That's called a siman gerua. That does not work either for an aguna or for an aveda. Then there's a siman beinoni, a middle level, somewhere in between a siman gerua, where you simply say the person's tall or short, or you say the color of the item, but not quite at the level of a siman muvuk, where it's one in a thousand. The poskim give different numbers. Some poskim say a siman beinoni means there are two or three out of a thousand, which means it's one out of every 333, or one out of every 500. That's a siman beinoni. Others say 1 in 100 is enough for a siman beinoni. In truth, from the Gemara, it's mashma, you don't need such a high bar. Because the Gemara discusses what happens if you find either a string of fish, you find a bunch of items that were placed down on the floor together. The person who lost it doesn't know anything unique about these items, but he says there were seven of them that were together. He gives the amount, he knows the amount that were there together. Salach is, there's a discussion in the Gemara, but we hold, minyan is a good siman. Knowing the amount, knowing the number, proves that it's yours. Now, strings of fish, I don't know that there's really a tzad, you're going to find 100 fish sitting on the street together. It's mistavra that the possible range is somewhere between, 2 and 20, 30, something like that. Now, so in that case, guessing the right number or saying the right number is approximately 1 in 30, and that seems to be a good enough siman. So it is mashma the Gemara. It doesn't have to be something that's so unique, but it has to be something that proves that it's yours. You know some information that a typical person would not know.
In that case,
if you know the type of fish, would not be a good siman. If you know the nimin, if you know the number, but you don't know, so okay, you have such a concept in Hilchos Simonim, you wouldn't have to. On the other hand, you may have a problem, because if you say that you lost the fish and you don't remember whether it was tilapia or a salmon, then what's going on? How come you don't know that siman? So in such a case, that could be, I don't know. It could be that would be a hichocho that we're saying isn't true. I don't know. Oh, so very good. So in Hilchos, this is discussed in Evan Ezra and Siman Yedayin. What happens, for example, we said that if you lose a shirt and you claim the shirt, what's your siman? Your siman is, it's a white shirt. So that's called a siman gerua, because the color, it doesn't prove anything. Colors are common, it doesn't prove anything. What happens if a person is found and you're able to accurately describe the last time this person was seen? You're able to describe the color of their shoes, their socks, their pants, every article of clothing, their scarf, their coat, everything that they're wearing. Okay, now today, white shirt, black pants, but it doesn't really prove that much. But let's say it's a woman. And you're able to, so this is a case where any given article of clothing is a simen geruwa. Saying this is the color of the socks is not a good simen, because it's just a color that's not a simen. But what happens if you string 10 simen geruwas together? We're now ready, the probability of getting them of a person wearing exactly this kind of outfit, obviously it's not a uniform, is very low. So this is an extensive discussion in Ibn Ezra. There are some places that say it's good, there are some places that say it's not. Chasam Sofer actually in this case says that it is good, you string enough weak simonim together. However, at the end, if there's a long Pesachei Tshuva in Simon Yodzayin, I think it's Kovav, but at the end he says that this is all by Aguna. Aguna where you need a higher level, you need to get to a simon muvuk, you need to get to the best simon, stringing together a bunch of weak ones may or may not do it. But by an Aveda, where even a simon beinani is enough under a Mekar Hadin, so there, stringing together a lot of weak simonim, he say, brings down a Roy of Poiskim, say that is good enough. So it means if you lose something and you don't have any one good simon, but you have a bunch or a whole list of weak simonim, so if it's enough that it's very unlikely that these things would coincide, that would be a good simon, according that would be enough to claim it back. Now, a friend of mine is actually giving a shiur on Hilchos HaShavas Aveda. He was in the shul giving a shiur. And before he got up there, before he to give the shiur, he saw on the shtender there was a watch sitting there. He asked anybody if they lost the watch, and they said no. Okay, so it's an Aveda. He takes the watch and hung up a sign in the shul and found the watch. But there was nobody there. There was nobody around, and he someone had said that it was there for a few days, so he took it. But the point is good, but it just didn't apply in this particular case. Also, even by Shomer Ktzas, if it has a simen, then the halacha, then you take it anyway, according to most poskim. The Rambam seems to hold you leave it there, but halacha, most poskim say that with a simen, even by Shomer Ktzas, you take. If something has if you see that it has a simen and you realize that it's an aveda, then you're over lesuchul lesalim. Now it's possible that if it was a shomer b'miktzas, according to the Rambam, you can leave it there. It could be the ones that didn't realize it was there for a few days; it would be fine. But anyway, so he takes the watch. He hangs up a sign. I found a watch. What? A few days later, he gets a phone call. He gets a phone call from someone who I think used to go to the shir, and he said. I lost the watch. He said, okay, so do you have a simon? He said, a simon, what's that? So he said, you haven't been coming to the shir. I can't give you back the aveda until you can prove that it's actually yours. Do you have any edim that this is your watch? Do you have a way to prove that it's actually yours? He said, what are you talking about? It was a Seiko watch. It had a gold band. It's mine. Give it back to me. He said, no, Seiko is not a simon. It's not a good simon. There are thousands and thousands of such watches around. I can't give it back to you. So what's the halacha in such a case? Now, Meikar Hadin, if saying the brand name of a watch, this really brings up another point, and that is, what are you trying to prove? What are you proving by giving a simon? So let's go for a moment. Let's discuss the sugya of an aguna. Two Edom come in and said that this person with this simon was buried. Now, do we think that anyone's lying? No. We have two Edom saying that we buried such a person. We know it's the truth. What's our problem? Our problem is very nice that you buried someone with this simon. Do we have the right to assume that if this lady's husband is missing and he had such a simon, and you buried someone with such a simon, do we have a right to assume that it's the same person? Maybe the lady's husband is captured who knows where, and someone else with the same simon died. How do we know it's the same person? So there, the Gemara is machadish, that if you have a simon muvuk, if it's one in a thousand, we don't have to be afraid of Dilma Isrami. We don't have to be choishish for such a coincidence. You can assume it's the same person, and she can get remarried. In the case of an Aveda, we have another issue, and that is, forget about coincidences. I say I found a watch. You say you lost a watch. Now, it may be true. On the other hand, maybe you need a watch. You don't want to go pay for it. So instead, you go to shul, you look at the signs, and you see someone found a watch. So you figured, hey, let me roll the dice. I'll call the fellow up. I'll say I lost a watch. I'll try to claim it. So here we have a second problem, and that is cheshash meshaker. Maybe he's lying. Maybe he's guessing. Maybe he just happened to have. Maybe he knows the true owner. And the owner came to him, "Did you see my Seiko watch?" And he said, "No." But now he starts looking at the signs, and when he sees a sign, he goes ahead and claims it. So we are two potential problems. We have one problem that maybe, just the same way you lost it, someone else lost it. Maybe it's another person. Maybe someone else lost a watch at the same time. And the second issue is maybe you're lying. Now, when we talk about a good siman or a bad siman, in truth is, we really have to discuss good siman for what? In the case of when you find a person who's in the case of aguna, if a person is, say, 8 feet tall, so here, if the lady's husband was 8 feet tall and you bury someone 8 feet tall, so now, al tzdilma isra'min, we have a pretty good proof it's probably the same person. Because there are very few people around that are 8 feet tall, and they're generally not Jewish either. So dilma isra'min, you're not going to have. On the other hand, if the issue is a chashash meshaker, if everyone knows that this person had an item, it was unique. It was very loud. It had a very distinct look. And he loses it. So once people know that this person lost his item, everyone knows how to describe it. Because it's something which is very noticeably different. If you lose place, you're missing your husband or whatever, you have a dog with two heads. So if you're missing that dog, it's true. If another dog was found dead with two heads, you can assume it's yours. But now, if you're missing your dog, and now someone claims it and says, "I had a dog with two heads also, give it back to me," it really doesn't prove that he's not lying, because this unique siman, while it might be unique, is very well known. So when we talk about a siman muvuk, we really have to deal with the two different sukkahs. There's one issue of how common it is. The less common it is, the better the siman, because now it's unlikely someone else lost the same item. But when we deal with a problem, maybe he's lying. Maybe he's a rami. He knew the siman and is just claiming someone else's thing. So then the Pri Yitzchak makes this point: the more public and the more famous or noticeable the siman is, the worse the siman is, because it may be very uncommon, but everyone knows about it. Everyone is able to give the siman, and therefore it doesn't really prove that it's yours. Now, l'halachom, the Kilus Yaakov, many places can say that by Aveda we have to deal with both issues. There are rayas from the Gemara, different Gemaras that deal with the different problems. And therefore, your siman that you have to give really needs both things. You have to, first of all, it has to be uncommon enough, something unique that only the owner would know. And it has to be something which is uncommon enough that we're not choshish that someone else lost the same thing. And therefore, if you find a watch, even if the person says it's a Seiko watch, it has a gold band, it has a white face, he's able to describe it accurately. But since there are thousands of such watches that are sold, there's nothing, you haven't given any siman that's unique, that's something that only the owner would know, something that's unique to you. It's everything that you've described, this watch, there are literally thousands floating around. So that would not be a good siman. What? Oh, very good. So another siman, which we didn't get to, is makom. If you know where you've lost it, the makom is itself a siman. Now, for makom, you need two things. First of all, if you find something that fell, but when it falls, you generally, by definition, you don't know where you dropped it. So there, makom is not a siman. It's only in the case of a shul where it's put on a shtender, where chances are the watch didn't fall off. Chances are he was learning, he took it off, he was playing with his watch, whatever, he put it down. So there, where he put it down, there's a good chance that he remembers it, and there makom would be a good siman. Now, although makom is a good siman, the Gemara says it depends what kind of makom. If you announce you found a hat, and the person says, "Okay, it was in the coat room," so the Gemara says that's not a good siman, because that is a place where everyone leaves their hat, and many people lose their hats. Any given time, you'll find many of them. A port is another example. You find a barrel of wine, it's by the port. The port is where you unload all the barrels of wine. So saying where you found it is not really a good siman. Now, even in that case, the Gemara has the Gemara has two lashonos, and the way Rashi learns, with some machlokes in this Gemara, what happens if you say it's in the coat room, but it was three hats over from the right wall? In other words, you're able to describe precisely where it is. So there, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, but what some pesukim say is, although it's shriach for people to lose hats in a coat room, if you're able to identify the precise location, there, for us to be afraid, you lost it there, but this isn't it. That means you lost it. Somehow yours got moved or taken away. Someone else came and left another one there, and this is someone else's. That's not very likely. And so therefore, the poskim say that when you're able to identify specifically exactly where it is, even in such a place, that would be a simon. Which means if you were learning in the Beis Medrash, and you were able to identify, I was learning on the second table in the back, and there was a shtender there, and I put a watch there, there the mokum would be a good simon. Problem in a shul is that usually, even if you put it down on one side, especially over Shabbos, things get moved around. The person was not able to identify exactly where he found it. But if he could, Malkoim certainly is a good siman lahalach.
Somebody dropped something and he's looking for all the Beis Medrash for it. And as he's looking, you notice that a pen under the table.
Mm-hmm.
Should you pick it up and then now ask him for a siman, or should you just let him just help? I think your pen is over there.
You're probably better off letting him take it. Because it was, as you mentioned, something which is an aim by Simon, there's a kveger that says that there may not be a chiv to pick it up. Because since when you pick it up, there's no way to return it, then he says there's no chiv b'chlal to pick it up. Kveger is a whole machlokes, but we said from Rav Yashiv that when it's a thing that has minimal value, he was quicker to be soimich on that. But on top of that over here is that even by a shomer aveda, normally, if I give you something to watch, the halacha is you can't give it to your friend and say, "Do watch it for me." It's a shemesh muscle of fire because I entrusted you. I didn't trust this third party. You're not allowed to pass it along. By a shemer aveda, the person who lost it didn't trust you with anything. He lost it. He had no idea who was going to find it. So the Torah makes it into a shemer, but the idea of a shemesh muscle of shemer l'chayru does not apply. And what that means is that you have the right, if there's another year that has a cheskas kashrus, you have the right to trust him that he will guard it appropriately and give it back only in under the proper circumstances. Now, this person who's looking for a pen, when he finds the pen, you can really ask a question. Does he have the right to keep it? If he has a simon, he knows it's his. But let's say there is no simon. Do you need a simon when you find something similar to what you lost? So there is a discussion among the poskim. But pashtus, if you know that you lost it and it looks like it's yours, and as we said, tzvias ayin, a talmud chacham who recognizes something, tzvias ayin is enough. Now, someone who's not a talmud chacham, who is mishana b'diburai, he doesn't always tell the truth. You can't trust him, and you have to demand a simon. But that's because you don't have the right to trust another person. If you're the one that lost it, and you know, you recognize it that it's yours, you don't have to be chayshish, you're lying. Because you know this is yours. This looks like yours. So the idea of Simon is he has to prove to me because otherwise I don't know what's going through his mind. Maybe he's just lying through his teeth. But if you lose it and you find it and you know that it's yours because you recognize it, even though you can't give a Simon, even though you can't prove, you explain where the scratch is, but if you recognize it, you have every right to keep it. You don't have to go demand a Simon from yourself and hang up signs and Good point. Not really. Because as people who hang up anyone who's hung up signs, more often than not, nobody claims it. So to the extent that a simon garua doesn't prove that it's yours, the fact that no one else claimed it doesn't prove there's no other owner, because very often owners will never claim the item. So a simon garua will not be enough. What actually happened in this case is the person who lost the watch was getting very upset. He happened to have been, it was a Baal Tshuva, and there was this rabbi who gets up there every week and lectures about returning lost items, Shavas Aveda. He finds my watch, I say it's mine, he won't give it back to me. What kind of ganav is this? Now, it's true he's getting upset, but if there's a Chiva Shavas Aveda, you're Shomer Aveda, you can't go ahead and decide to be Kadesh Shem Shemayim with someone else's watch. So what he ended up doing is he used the heter that we discussed last week, that if it's something which is mass-produced, it's the Seiko watch that you can easily replace. People don't, it wasn't anything special or expensive that there was any sentimental value. So at some point, if you're just going to hold on to it, eventually it'll just deteriorate or it'll rust or whatever. When you saw that no one else claimed it, he went ahead and he used the heter. You have the right to sell it. You have the right to sell it to someone else or to yourself. And then you can go ahead and you can use it. So what he did is he took the item. He was makabel on himself that that at this point I have the right to sell it. So instead of selling it for money, I'm going to return it to this person that claims that it's his. If the real owner ever comes to me, Elio Anovi comes and we find out it's not him, I'll pay for it out of my pocket. This way, this fellow is not walking around thinking I'm trying to cheat him out of his watch. And I'm mean, the din of Hashavas Aveda, because at this point it was the owner wasn't coming. It was something which over time it'll just go down in value. So the owner is better off having him put aside the money and at least getting that. Excellent point. There are a number of such problems. You know, for example, there's another case of if you find money, does money have a simon? Now, our money today, at least our bills, all have a simon. There's a serial number. Now, is there anybody here who knows the serial number of their dollars? No. So here the place can say it's very nice as a simon, but it's a simon that nobody knows. You don't have to be chayshish that the person happens to enjoy memorizing serial numbers on dollar bills when in his spare time. So that you can assume is an aim by simon. What if you find a bill that has a rip on it? Or for that matter, sometimes it has someone's name on it. Is that a simon on money? So the halacha is it's not. Now here there's a machloikis, or it's actually even a machloikis, whether it is a machloikis, but a name on a dollar bill is certainly not a simon, because in the very least we're choshish that whoever it is who writes his name on his money probably has more than $1 in his life. Whenever he gets money, he may be writing his name, in which case there may be tens or hundreds or thousands, many dollars out there with his name on it, and therefore it is not a simon. Now this... Your kasha here is even stronger. Even if you write your name on every single dollar that you ever get, unless your name is Warren Buffett, only a tiny fraction of the money out there is going to have your name on it. Okay, it's true. That would not be a good simon. So if it's straight probability, then what's the difference between the two cases? What it seems is, and again, the kasha is a good kasha, the teretz, I'll say what I think, but I don't have a raya brewer to this. It seems like this. It seems that you have something like a Seiko watch. They're mass-produced. There are hundreds of them out there. Now, it's true, there are so many other competitors, so these watches are a small fraction of the total. But because there are hundreds or thousands of any given watch, the same way you lost it, someone else may have lost the same thing. On the other hand, if you have a watch that has a scratch, it could be statistically one in every certain amount of watches will probably have that scratch. There doesn't have to be another watch with the scratch in the same place. Is it likely? Yes. But if you're able to say, I lost a watch with this particular scratch, since it's something which is unique, doesn't have to be out there, that's a simon, that shows that identifies you as the owner, and you can keep it. In the dollar bills also. Because we now have a chashash, you writing your name on all the dollar bills, there's nothing special about having your name on the dollar bill, and that's not called a unique simon. It's only in a case where we have no reason to assume, or no raya, that this amount of fish were together anywhere else. There, it's a simon, even though, again, probability-wise, it's probably roughly the same.
There's probably back and forth, and where there's such a great chance, a high probability that we're going to make a mistake on whether or not we're
going to do? Someone said that everyone talks about Shmira Seinayim. He said the Shmira Seinayim goes both ways. If you look up, you see people who are not dressed right. If you look down, you find an aveda. So what do? Stay in the Beis Medrash. That's the only Yetzer. Okay, hold on. Let me just. So you have to come to Shiur. You have to learn the halachas. The fact that they're complicated or difficult is not a p'tur. No, it's like this. That we said. We said there's no din of shomer shemasul shomer. If you pick up an aveda, you give it to someone else and say, "This is an aveda. Can you take care of it for me?" There's nothing wrong with doing that because there's no issur shomer shemasul shomer by an aveda. Dina Malchusadina, we mentioned, there is, the Ramah says that Dina Malchusadina, but he uses it just the other way. That even after years, if a person claims that Dina Malchusadina will require you to give it back. But for Dina Malchusadina to say that since legally you don't have to return it, therefore I'm exempt from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, Chas Hashem, that we won't do, then Dina Malchusadina can just add to your obligations here, it cannot take away. No, because, like I mentioned before, many items, even items of value, are never claimed. The owner doesn't know where to look, the owner may not be local, and therefore, the fact that no one should, just like many, most cases, no, the owner won't claim it, and that doesn't prove it doesn't have an owner. It just proves that the owner either didn't bother looking or didn't chance upon your sign or your hachrozo. So the fact that someone gave a siman geruah doesn't prove that he must be the owner because it can't be anybody else. Because again, right? But I don't think it'll rise to the level of a siman. Okay, we're running out of time. Let me just finish up briefly. So basically, we have our three levels of simanim. Siman muvuk works all over. Siman beinoni works machlekes deraisa derabbanon, but by an aveda, siman beinoni does work mikra adin. Siman gerua will not work, but we mentioned before, stringing a number of siman geruas will work even by an aveda. This is all in the ikra hadin. The Mishnah says that mishirabu haramam, when people, society deteriorated, people became, there are more and more ramoim, people who were ganovim. So the halacha is, people started walking around, and it seems to be an easy way to make a few bucks, try to claim avedas. Chazal were misakin, you have to assume a person's a rami. A rami, if someone is a known thief, a fellow knocks on your door, he wants to claim the watch, his name is Bernie Madoff, the halacha is, even with a simon, even with a unique simon that's 1 in 1,000, you don't give it to him. Because you're chayshish. Somehow he figured out the siman. He found out the real owner is. He's guessing. We don't trust him. Someone who is a known Ramai, he has to bring Edom. What? Edom were never chayshish. Ain't never safe. Now, there are different shitas exactly how to go. I'm just going to briefly go through the shitas hashach. The shach says, if he's a known Ramai, he has to bring Edom. Anything short of that, you don't give it back to him. A stam person today where chayshish is a Ramai, that is chazakah. However, when he's not a known Ramai, it's just an assumed Ramai, there if he has a simen muvuk, if he has the simen unique, 1 in 1,000, that is enough to return it to stam a person. If the person can show that he's not a Ramai, he comes with some references, he comes with edim that say, we know we've dealt with this person, he's honorable, he's honest, there, we go back to the Ikra HaDin, and there even a Simen Beinoni is enough to return the item. Now, there's no discussion about what? Right. Normally, we have a Cheses Kashrus. The Mishnah says specifically, by an Aveda, Mishra Rabu Haramon, it was an easy way to make a few bucks. You have to realize also that when you hang up a sign, it could be most people are honest. But if all you need is a certain percentage of Ramon, and whenever you do a Hachroza, who's going to come to you? The Ramon, the ones that are out to make a living or out to get avedas, whenever there's a sign up, they'll jump to you. So it doesn't mean from this Mishnah suddenly everyone in Klal Yisrael are crooks. It just means there are enough that when you make a public announcement, I found something, that those people will find you, they'll come to you, and that's why we have to have this extra level of verification. Now, the Lashon is Edim. I didn't see any discussion, but it's not Mestavra. You have to go to Bezdin, and normally Edus is only meaningful in Bezdin. You have to step into Bezdin, you have a Haggadah's Edus. It's very Yotachin that all you need is references, someone who is able to vouch for him without the formal halachos of Edus. So I want to end off with just a quick thought that heard over from Hashem to Sefer's Bracha, that we went through the entire Hashavas Aveda. Person loses something, even if you lose it, it's yours. The fact that you can't find it doesn't mean it's not yours anymore. Anytime a Yid, if another Yid comes along, he has an obligation, Hashavas Aveda, he has to go ahead, he has to try to help you, he has to return it to its rightful owner. The moment a person's miyayish, the moment he gives up hope, suddenly everything changes. And suddenly, whoever comes along, whoever finds his keepers, he picks it up, it's his. He can keep it. Even if you find him, he doesn't have to give it back to you. It belongs to him. So this is, if you think about it, this is a pella. Just because he gave up hope, suddenly, this is a new type of kinyan, suddenly it changes the ownership. If it's his, it's his. If it's not his, it's not his. What does yish change? Tesefes Brachos is a beautiful thought. He says the pshat is, every yid has to know, he has to have bitachon. Every yid has to know that no matter how hopeless the situation may seem, no matter how long he lost an item for, he always has to be betech b'Hashem, and he can never be meyayish. If he is meyayish, he gives up hope, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The moment he's meyayish, the Torah says, that's it. Now it's hefker. Anyone who wants to, can go, whoever goes ahead and finds it, can keep it for himself. Thinking of Seres Yimei Tshuva, this is an especially appropriate thought. Seres Yimei Tshuva are 10 days where a person thinks back on the past year. We all know our shortcomings. We all know our areas of Avodas Hashem where we haven't lived up to perhaps what we should have. And it can, Chas V'Shalom, bring a person to Yish. A person can give up hope. He can be Miyayish from the Rachmei Shemayim. What we see from here is that there's nothing worse than Yish. If a person gives up hope, if he's Miyayish, then Itaka becomes Hefker. A person always has to have Bitachin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person always has to realize the rachem in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person does tshuva. If he has charot on what he did that his tshuvas and his feels will always be neskabel. I want to wish everyone Gemar Chasima Toivo, good Gemen Shdiar, and Amir Hashem, after Sukkot, we'll begin on the sugya of Dina Lamachus Adina. Yeah.